Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
You have your Bibles, Romans chapter 13. I'll start there and then we'll read a couple of verses and then go to James 4 and 7. Romans 13 and 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be, powers that exist, the powers that are, they are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Pretty harsh language, but it's a serious thing. James 4 and 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Praise the Lord. And tonight, I want to talk to you on this thought, power through submission. Power through submission. So let's pray together tonight for the lesson. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and mercy to us, for watching out for us, Lord, for keeping your hand on us. And Lord, thank you for the word that feeds us, that gives us life, that gives us new life, that gives us faith. Lord, tonight let us hear what the Spirit would say. Help us to receive it, Lord, into good ground. Let it challenge us. Let it change us if it needs to, God. Let us receive it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise before you're seated. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Thankful for the Word of God. Power through submission. It almost doesn't sound like that it could be a correct statement. We think of submission as losing. You know, people that watch MMA fighting, somebody gets in a submission hold and they tap out. Well, they lost, you know, but you know, if you're the kind of person that looks at every side of it, you say, well, really? He chose to submit, and it spared him a very bad injury. He had power to save himself through submission. Not the same thing that I'm talking about tonight, but there is power in our walk with God through submission. Somebody mentioned, I don't know if it was you, Jake, but someone just here recently in their lesson was talking about James 4 and 7, and that was in my mind today, thinking about that. But, you know, we talked a little bit here recently about walking. Our walk is by faith. We walk by faith. That's how we go through this life with God, through faith. And I think that sometimes people think because we live by faith, we walk by faith, you know, takes faith to please God, and we hear these messages like, you got to have crazy faith, you just got to have that crazy faith. You got to, faith is unbridled. It believes for the impossible, and it does all those things. And you have to have faith in the face of impossible situations. But faith is bound by God's word. Even if we live by faith, what gives us faith? The Bible says faith comes through hearing through the Word of God. And to think that faith is out of order, or to act like faith will just, you know, faith is a rebel. That's one of them things, you know. There was a song we used to listen to, Faith is a Rebel. And it was like, because it would just go against everything. But faith will never act outside of God's Word, because it can't. Because it's just like we are born again by the Word, faith is birthed by the Word. It can't act outside. So there's order and submission, really, even to faith. It is submitted to God's Word. It can't do anything that God's Word doesn't let it do. To think that we can't live like, well, I'm just going to live by faith, like you're going to hop on a motorcycle and put a do-rag on and just ride. I'm just riding in faith. Like, you know, no. It's not like that. I'm just going to roll my shirt sleeves up and put on a leather jacket. I'm going to be a rebel, faith rebel, and I'm just going to do my thing and have faith in God. There's no power in that, because faith is in submission to the Word, and we are supposed to be in submission to God. That's our life. And the reason that people, they believe they have faith, and they probably do. They believe that Jesus, who He is. They believe in what He's done. They've received that new birth experience, and yet somewhere they stall, because Paul is writing this instruction not to people outside of the church, but to the saints. He's reminding the church that once you have become His, there's some guidelines in this life. And it reminds me of, and I didn't give you this scripture, sis, so don't worry about it. I'm just going to read. But what Paul wrote to the church, the Corinthian church, in 1 Corinthians 6, he said, he made a statement, but it was in the form of a question. He said, what? He said, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? And we know that comes from God. God gave that. It's the promise. The promise is unto you. It's the gift. It's the spiritual birth. It's the adoption into the body. It's the without the Spirit of Christ, we are none of His. We know that. And so we have that which is in you, which you have of God. So without God, you don't have it. You don't have it. And you are not your own. In other words, he said, if you take out that little center part, he says, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and you are not your own? Well, I'm going to do my own thing. You'll be without power. You'll be without the power to receive the blessings of God. God will still be merciful. God will still love you. You'll wake up every day with a merciful God on your side, but you will walk powerless because you are resisting the power. We must be in submission to God. We must be subject to God. He said, you are bought. You have been bought with a price, so you should glorify God. We don't glorify ourselves in our body. Let's let everybody see what I can do. That's glorifying ourselves. Glorify Him in your body and in your spirit, because your spirit belongs to Him also. He gave you His spirit, but your spirit, the Bible says the spirit will return to God who gave it. He gave us the gift of life, the spirit of life. We have nothing on our own. It's all from God. For in Him we live, move, and have our being. That's scripture. And so we have to have Him. And the reason I think why so many people, saints of God, struggle, summed up, there's a quote that I love. I don't know if you've ever read, some of it you have to pick through and, you know, spit the bones out. But if you've ever read anything that A.W. Tozer wrote, he had some really strong sermons. And, man, he may not have understood, you know, some things scripturally as maybe God wanted him to. I mean, I'm not here to judge him, but, you know, but he had some convictions that were deep and solid and firm, and they were not just man-made stuff that it was just great things he said. But he said this: the reason why many are still troubled and they're still seeking, still making little forward progress, is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. We're still trying to give orders and interfering with God's work within us. So he said, the reason why, and this is something he observed in his life, he said, the reason why so many people that serve God and love him and are trying to do things for him, the reason they're having so much trouble and they're not moving forward is because they're still trying to be in control. That's something that's hard for us to do, is to give up control and to ignore the flesh. That's a big one. It's getting past that battle of our flesh. And so Paul wrote, again, to the church, to saints, to those that had already had the gospel preached, they had received it, they were the saints at Rome, and he was teaching them and pastoring them and doing all he could to help them. He said, let every soul, now when he addresses every soul, the soul is eternal. The things that he's talking about have eternal consequences, and you can tell that by the way he ends the second verse. But he said, let every soul, so every living being, be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. Now, of course, he's not talking about governments and things. He's in the church, and he said, in the church, the powers that are here, they are ordained of God. God is a God of order. He wants us to do things decently and in order. His word framed the worlds and brought the worlds into existence. And so we know that God is a creator, a designer. He has a plan. He had a plan from the foundation of the world to save our souls. And it wasn't just, hey, we'll see what happens. It was laid out. And if you read from the Old Testament into the New, you'll see as God begins to manifest and reveal himself more and more, the plan more and more, prophecies that are fulfilled. Even the prophecy that Joel wrote, we see in the book of Acts, this is that the prophet Joel spoke of. So we know that God is always moving forward with these things. But let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now the word subject there is the same in James 4 and 7, is the same word as submit. The word is hupotasso, if you want a Greek word, hupotasso. And it means to be under obedience or be in subjection to or submit yourself unto. And so when we come to God, we, you know, many times we come with so many needs. We're desperate. We need help. Things are going wrong. Things are happening in our life. And, you know, we're in a bad place, whatever. I need a change. I need all that. And immediately we come to him and we feel the love of God. Sometimes, you know, we repent. We are baptized in his name and the blood washes us in for the remission of sins. And then we're filled with the Spirit of God. And it feels so wonderful. And we walk right out from under his protection, right out from under his guidance. I feel so good right now. I can do anything. And we just take off and we leave behind without ever submitting ourselves or being in subjection now to God, because now there's a life to live. And that's how it's always been. This life that we live for God only works out right when we are in submission to him. We can't just go around saying, hey, I love Jesus, and not living for him. Jesus said in one place in the New Testament, he said, why do you call me Lord, but you don't do the things that I instruct you to do? You call me Lord, and now if you've called somebody Lord, if you have a Lord, you are in subjection to them. And so why are you saying I'm your Lord, but you don't do the things that I tell you to do? And that's what happens so many times is people, and it's been misrepresented that the love of God will just make everything all right. Now, the love of God is matchless. It's precious. It saved us. It sent salvation. We've got to have it. But his love does not make sin okay. His love doesn't make rebellion okay. His love does. He will love you at your worst, always. He'll love you when you're rebellious. He'll love you when you're doing whatever, but his love is meant to change us. His love is meant to work in our life. And so we have to be in submission to him and the arrangement or the order. That's what when Paul said, when you resist the power, you resist the ordinance, or you resist the arrangement or the order that God has. You can't say, I want the salvation, but I don't want the arrangement. Lord, I don't want this arrangement. I want my own walk. I want to do it myself. I don't want to have to be. Now, I'm not talking about being held under somebody's thumb that's the head of a church. I'm not talking about somebody saying, you're going to do what I say. Or that's not good pastoring. That's not a good shepherd. That's not the way it's supposed to be. I'm talking about what the Scripture says. And whoever's behind this desk or has a position that God has ordained or set up, he is under submission or under subjection to God and to the Word, and he can't go outside of the Word to hold you under his thumb or crack the whip on you or make a slave out of you. He has to be under subjection too. He has no power unless he is in submission. So we want everything done decently and in order, as the Scripture says. So everything that we do flows from submission to God. And we learn the order. We learn the arrangement. And we learn what has been set up by his word. The Scripture would talk about old paths and old landmarks. These are things that were set up for God's people. They were to keep them in a place where they would remember God and all the things he had done, and would remember to serve him and be his. And so the Scripture tells me plainly, without him, I can do nothing. When they were saying Jesus at the center of it all. Well, when we take him out of the equation and just try to take his free gift, we can do nothing, because without him, we can do nothing. That's why Paul would write later, he said, but through Christ, I can do all things, because he strengthens me. It's not my own strength. And so, Lord, order or ordain my steps in your word. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. When we stop letting God order our steps, the Scripture says his word is a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. When we stop letting the word guide our life, we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We get out of submission or subjection to God, and we are now trying to do our own way. The Scripture says that the backslider in heart is full of their own way. And we could sit in the house of God and be backslid in our heart because we're just doing what we want to do. We've got to live by his word, according to his word. And again, his love will never condone a lifestyle that is outside of his word. His love reaches, it knows no bounds. It can reach anywhere, but it won't condone and okay things that are not according to his word. So our new birth only comes by his word, water and spirit. We have to be in submission to that word. We have to submit to the plan. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born of water. That's baptism. You must be born of the Spirit. That's being filled with the Holy Ghost. There is no other way to enter into the kingdom, because he said, you can't come in but by me. That's why it's baptism in his name, and the Holy Ghost comes in his name. The Spirit is in his name. The baptism's in his name. He is the door. We have to come in through him. Our new birth comes by his word. We have to be in submission to that, or there's no power. Adam and Eve had an arrangement with God. He set them up. This is what you're to do. This is what you're not to do. And this arrangement provided for them as long as they were subject and submitted to God. It was working out great until they got out of submission to God. They yielded to something else and traded their submission to God, which is the only power, and they submitted to something else. Noah had means to save himself. The Bible says eight souls, that was his family, saved by water. It said Noah could save himself if he did all that God commanded him to do concerning the ark and its inhabitants. He had to do all that God wanted him to do, or it wasn't going to work. He was in submission, in subjection to God and the plan that God had for him. God said, "Build. Have I got to build it that big? I could really cut off some time if I shortened it a little bit. Well, it won't float. You know, it won't hold everybody. It's not going to work. You've got to build it." God didn't make any mistakes. It wasn't overkill. He said, "This is what you're going to need. It'll have to be exactly this size. Build it like this. Do it like that." And the Bible says, "And Noah did all that God commanded him." Sure does seem like a lot of work, Lord. Sometimes it is. But let me tell you, when that door shut and that boat started floating, Noah was like, it was worth every blister. It was worth every splinter. It was worth every backache. And it was worth anything else because we're alive. Praise God. The promise that God had for Abraham, it hung on his submission to God's word for him to get up and leave where he was and go to where God led him. He came to Abraham, he said, "Get up and get out of this country. Leave this place and go to the place I'm going to tell you about. And I will make you a great nation." Well, Abram at the time, he had to submit to that. He had to, well, if God's got a plan, well, God, why can't you just do it here? So that's us. That's the flesh. I don't want to have to travel. I don't want to leave this. I know all these people. I don't want to have to leave my family. But he got up and went, and God blessed Abraham, and we know he's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob and Israel. So Moses and Israel would survive, and they would come out as long as they were obedient in submission to God's word concerning the Passover prior to the Exodus. When it was time for them to leave Egypt, they didn't just go on any way they wanted to go. The Lord said, "Here's what you're going to do tonight. You're going to kill that lamb. You're going to put the blood on the doorpost and over the top of it. You're going to take it in there and you're going to eat that. Then you're going to get ready to get out of here, because after tonight, you're going to be leaving. You know, and if you go out of these doors, then you'll die." So understand what I'm saying. So they had to listen and do exactly what God said, and God brought them out of Egypt. But when he brought them out, he didn't say, "Now that I brought you out from that slavery, from that bondage, from that life of hardship, I didn't bring you out so you could just go do whatever you wanted to do. Now you can." He didn't take their free will away. He said, "But if you want to be a blessed nation, if you want to be the children of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the children of Israel, if you want to be my children," he said, "then this is what you will have to do." The blessing that God promised Israel. And when you start reading Deuteronomy 28, you'll see that all these blessings that we talk about, "Oh, I'm going to be the head and not the tail. I'm going to be above only and not beneath. I'm going to be blessed going in and blessed going out, blessed in the field, blessed in the home." Man, it's just blessing, blessing, blessing. 14 verses, the first 14 verses, nothing but blessings. But that's a long chapter. And after verse 14, verse 15 to the end of that chapter is what goes wrong when you get out of submission. So just to see from verse 15 all the way to verse 68, God is letting you know how bad it can be when you decide to get out of submission to me. But we don't want to dwell on that. We want to say, well, if I can choose to be blessed, I think I'll choose to be blessed. But let's see what he said. "And it shall come to pass if you shall hearken," listen, that doesn't just mean hear it. It means when you hearken to something, you're taking it in. "If you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God and observe and do all his commandments, which I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth." Yeah. And then all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if. He keeps putting "if" in there because he don't want to confuse them. He's not trying to lie to them or lead them on. "If you hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field, the fruit of your body, the fruit of the ground, fruit of your cattle, the increase of the kine, flocks of the sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. And he's going to run your enemies off. I'm just going through here real quick. He's going to command the blessing upon you in your storehouses, all you set your hand to. He's going to bless you in the land that he gives you. The Lord will establish you a holy people unto himself if you keep the commandments of the Lord and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth will see you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you plenteous in goods, fruit of your body, fruit of the cattle, fruit of the ground, in the land that the Lord sware unto your fathers. He's going to open the good treasure. He's going to open heaven to give rain unto your land. And he's just going to bless the work of your hands. You're going to lend unto many, and you won't have to borrow. God's going to bless you. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. If, again, he keeps letting them know, if, there's a qualifier, if you hearken to the commandments of the Lord, which I command you this day, observe to do them, and don't go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand, the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. We've got to stick with God. Well, that's the Old Testament. I mentioned this the other day, but we are grafted in to the promises. We are, the scripture says, Abraham is the father of us all. So these blessings come upon us too as the church. Well, and then, but if you want to go in the New Testament, look at Matthew 6 and 33. What did Jesus say for us to do? But seek ye first the kingdom of God. If it's his kingdom, then there's order to it. There's power. There's an arrangement to it. He said, and you seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. He said, I know you're Gentiles and you look for things, you want things, you need things. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, submit yourself to him. Get under subjection to God, and he's going to help you. He's going to bless you. Isaiah chapter 1 and verses 18 through 20. Even one of these first glimpses into the salvation that God has for us lets us know it's all dependent on our submission to him. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So he said, you know, I'm not taking free will away. Make your choice. If you're willing and obedient, if you come under submission, there's power to be saved. There's power for your life to be different, for it to be changed. He said, you'll eat the good of the land. You're going to have the best of everything if you do what I have asked you to do. So after the reasoning, submission, willingness, obedience, we get the good of the land. We can have no other gods before him. We can have no idols. We can't worship anything else. We've got to serve him. But to refuse and to rebel just equals death. There's nothing there. The first commandment in the scripture is about having order, submission to God. The very first commandment, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and him only shalt thou worship. That's the first one, submission to God. It's about him first. And so God does not force us to salvation. He doesn't force us into this. It's up to us to decide, what do we want to do? Are we tired of living beneath our privilege? Are we tired of living in places God never intended us to be? Are we staying behind in Egypt with the door standing wide open? The lamb's already been slain and the door's wide open. Why are we still hanging out in Egypt? He stands at the door, he says, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and open, you got to submit to that. You got to be in submission to it. You got to say, I will. I'll open the door. Peter preached. They said, what shall we do? On the day of Pentecost, this same Jesus, Israel, that you crucified, is both Lord and Christ. Ah, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he's told them. And you know what it says? And they that gladly received the word were baptized. They received it. They said, this is the order. This is the arrangement. We're in submission to it. We'll submit to it. We'll receive this word. They were subject to the arrangement that God has set forth, ordained, and it added them. It says, in that day, 3,000 souls were added to the church. You can't even be added to the church without being in submission to God. You can't come up any other way. The Bible says you'll be a thief and a robber. You can't go up any other way. You've got to go through Him. And we are the church. And if we as the church are not in submission, then we are without power. You can put church on the sign. You can put church on the card. And you can gather together every week. But if you're not in submission, you are without power. And if we are not under submission to God, we are without power to see revival. We can, under our own steam, we can have great services. We can have groups. We can have meetings. We can have fellowship. We can have fun. We can do all that, just us. But if we're going to see lives changed, submission. If we're going to see people saved, submission. If we're going to see healing and deliverance and spiritual warfare being won and things like that, chains falling off, addictions being broken, if we're going to see lives put back together, we've got to be in submission to God, because that's where the power comes from. Colossians 2 and 10 says, "And you, we, the church, we are complete in Him, Jesus, which is the head of all principality and power." He's the head of it. I've got to be in submission to Him. In Matthew 28 and 18, Jesus said, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me." I've got all the power. So again, I've got to be in submission to Him. Paul wrote this to Timothy, because this is the day that we live in, and this is what we fight. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, "This know also, that in the last day perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of them own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They'll be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." I've always read that pretty quick. One day the Lord said, "Slow down," and underline the word "more." He said, it's not that they don't claim to love me, but they love pleasure more than me. They love the world more than they love me. They'd rather go do this than come to my house. They'd rather do this than spend time in prayer. They'd rather do this than read their Bibles. They'd rather talk about this than talk about me. They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form, now listen, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What did Paul write? He said, when you resist the power, the powers that be are from God, they're ordained of God, there is no power without God. And so there are people that they have a form of godliness, they look like a church, but there's no power. They meet on Sunday, but there's no power. They wear their suits, but there's no power. They got the sign, they got the steeple, they got the cross, they got the t-shirts, they got everything. They have VBS, they do all the stuff, no power. Because they get out of subjection to God and submission to God. We've got to be in submission to Him. When we resist the power, we resist God and the things, the arrangement, the order that He set up. And we don't get to have power and use it how we see fit or make our own rules. It has to be under Him. Romans 6 and 16 says, "Know you not that to whoever you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are." I've talked about people having faith, and you can't act outside of the Word. You don't have power. We don't have power outside of the Word. We can't say, "Well, that might work for some people, but that ain't me. I'm my own." Now, whoever you yield to, that's whose servant you are. And so when you yield to God, you're His servant, servant of righteousness. But when you yield to yourself, humanism, you yield to your flesh, I'm my own man, I'm my own person, I'm my own woman, I'm just me, and I'm going to do me. I hate that. Makes me want to vomit. I hate that saying. I'm going to do me. Well, let me tell you, Whoever you yield yourself servants to obey, that's whose servant you are, to whom you obey. And if you're not his servant, guess where you're not going? Where all the servants go. So you either are yielding your members to sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You're either in submission or out. Well, make sure. I know that's like, oh, this is a really bummer message for Wednesday night, Pastor. I mean, come on, could you preach about Lazarus come out of the tomb or something? I mean, we need something walking on water, man. But Paul said this is, he was teaching the church. He said, this is important. You've got to get this because I don't want you to be misled and just going down the road blind, not understanding that you don't just get to do whatever you want to do. We don't make the rules. It's not our word, it's his word that we live by. So Jesus is the Lord, but he's not our Lord until we submit to him. That it's never a question if he's Lord. The question is he our Lord? He's the Lord over all, but do you call him Lord? I don't want to be a Jesus fan. I don't want to be, just a groupie. I want to be his child. I want to be in submission to him. I want to be his. We have power, the scripture says, after we receive the Holy Ghost. But God did not force that power into us. Because, again, very careful with the wording. This is just common culture. Hey, did they get the Holy Ghost? You don't really get it. You receive it. I go to the store and get something. I walk across the room to get something. I can't receive anything unless it's given to me. And he said, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, and you will get the Holy Ghost. He said, don't get me wrong, I know what we mean. I know it's just our language. It's just, it's just people. But if your mindset is that I'm going to go somewhere and get that, like I'm going to take it from God, we teach our kids when somebody's going to give them a present, don't go up and snatch that out of their hand. Let them hand it to you. We pull our kids in the room and wear them out. You think you do? You don't snatch stuff out of people. They're giving you a gift. You don't. You wait till they hand it to you and you thank you and you receive that. And that's what the scripture says, God poured his spirit out on all flesh. And people must receive it. They that gladly received the word were baptized and they were added to the church. 3,000 people that were added, but they received it. If there's, I can go anywhere and get something. I'm going to go to the store and get me a Pepsi, whatever, I'm going to the store and get that. But if somebody showed up at my house and said, hey, I got this for you, and hands to it, I receive what they gave me. And there's a difference. And receiving is submission. Because you make a decision. I'll either submit to this and receive it, or I'll refuse it. I won't take it. I can get my own. Well, you can't do that. So we receive, we yield, we submit to God, and he fills us. The Spirit leads us into all truth. It does not drag us or push us into truth. It leads us. To be led is to be in submission. If you've ever tried to lead a horse, where's Sister Amber? She ain't in here. She'll tell you, you try to lead a donkey or lead a horse, and they make up their mind, they're going to move right now. You can pull and do it. You can't lead them nowhere. They have to submit to your authority and say, okay, I'm going to let you. They're bigger, they're stronger than you. But they, when you've got them by that rein and stuff, they'll submit and you can lead them. So the Spirit leads us into all truth. So it leads us, submit, we get there. I've said this, I made this statement many times. Do we admit only, or do we submit? Because it's easy to admit, I know God. It's easy to admit that he's Lord. It's easy to admit that he brought you salvation, but do you submit to that? I don't want to admit only, I want to submit to him. Because the scripture says I can't even really call him Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And I have to receive, I have to be in submission to receive the Holy Ghost, so I have to be in submission to call him Lord. Makes sense to me. Now, and I know I've got a few minutes here, let's go back to James 4 and 7. Put James 4 and 7 back up there for me if you could. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And just leave that up for a moment. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so we quote that scripture is always half quoted. Always, always. People call up, oh, pray for me. I'm fighting a battle. Hey, just resist the devil, and he'll flee. That's false advertisement. Because you gave them half the answer. You tried to give them the power without giving them the power source. You got no power over that enemy unless you got the power source. And the power comes from submission. What did he say first? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. When we are in submission to him, and that's where the power comes from. Our flesh will leave out the submission part because the spirit and the flesh are enemies. Carnal mind and spirit, they're enemies. They fight. The carnal mind, it can't be subject. It's not subject to God. It's not in submission to God. It can't be. It won't be. It's going to fight. It's just going to fight. It's, no, Lord, your flesh is going to be uncomfortable with some things that God asked you to let go of, to walk away from, to quit doing because your flesh enjoys it. But don't remove submission and only go for power. Because, again, there is no power without it. So you can resist all you want to, but without submission to God, the church is powerless. We need faith, submission, yeah, obedience to the word if we're going to see the miraculous. When we quote part of a scripture, well, just resist and he'll flee, it's not true. We have removed. Now, sometimes people just don't know the whole scripture because all they've ever heard is resist the devil and he'll flee. That's just like people hollering, just call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. No idea what it means. So people just run around hollering his name and nothing's happening because that's not what it's talking about. But if you don't know what the scripture says, you'll just be blindly hollering out verses. I mean, you could just be hollering Jesus wept. You're just quoting scripture, and yes, it's true scripture, and it's his word, it's there, but it's got to be in the arrangement, in the order that God put it. It's got power in it if it's obeyed as it should be. The call on the name of the Lord is not to yell out his name, but it's to be buried in his name in baptism. That's what calling on the name of the Lord means. The first time it was ever talked about, Joel talked about it in his prophecy, Joel chapter 2. You read it again in Acts chapter 2 when Peter says, this is that the prophet Joel spoke of, and that's where they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, which is the name of the Lord, because the name of the Lord, Jehovah saves. I can't go teaching a whole lesson on baptism right now. But that's what we're talking about. So when this scripture here, you've got to be in submission to God, submit to God. And man, when you get in submission to him, this word works for you. When you get in submission to him, the spirit works for you. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Well, I've got to be in submission to God so that I can win the war. And so when we are subject to the higher power. If we're not subject to the higher power of God, the lesser power don't fear you. There ain't no power greater than God. Your enemy, your flesh, it ain't greater than God. But let me tell you something. When you're not in subjection to the higher power, the lesser powers are not in subjection to you. And that's out of order because God wanted us to have dominion in this world. And he told his disciples, he said, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy. I want you to win, but when you are out of subjection to me, it's not going to work. So if we're not subject to the higher powers of God, the lesser powers do not fear us. The enemy believes in your God. The scripture says so. You believe in one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. He believes in God and trembles, but if you're not in submission to God, the enemy's not going to be in subjection to you. He don't tremble at you. He trembles at God. But if you don't, if he knows you don't know God, he ain't worried about you. So if we walk contrary to the word of God, we're not in submission. Every time the enemy tempted Jesus, when it says when the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus answered, "It is written." The man Christ Jesus was in submission, obedience to God's word, which is ordained forever, settled in heaven. He was in submission to that. He would say many times, "I can only say what God wants me to say, and I can only do what God wants me to do." He was in submission. He was obedient. The scripture said he learned obedience. So after he answers these trials in the wilderness, it says, "Then the devil left him, and angels came and ministered unto him." And Luke 4 and 14 says, "And Jesus returned in the power," because he stayed in submission, "he returned in power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about." God's servants have the power to resist. Submission to the word. You've got an answer for every test. It's right here in the word. Don't give someone who is not submitted to God, you don't give them a sword and send them against the enemy, because they're going to lose. You know, when Israel refused to go into the promised land the first time, they were afraid of what the spies said, and they wouldn't go. And so now God's like, "Okay, so all you guys that came out of Egypt, y'all going to drop dead, because you're going to wander for 40 years. "Oh, no, we'll go fight." And the Lord said, "You better not, because I won't be with you." And they got ready to go, and Moses said, "Why are you going to tempt the Lord? He's not going to be with you. Don't go." But they said, "No, we're going to go fight. We'll go do it. We'll go. Okay, we'll go do it now." And guess what? God wasn't with them. They got whooped. They lost. Because God said, "Nope, I've already said it. You're going to wander 40 years. Deal with it. You can't go and fight if I don't give you the authority to go." So they lost the battle. We've got to be in subjection. I know I'm running quick on time. Honey, if you'll come up to the music. In Acts chapter 19, we'll read a story right quick. Paul at Ephesus, 2 years of preaching Christ, many great miracles. Paul was in submission to God. Great things were happening in Ephesus. But in verses 13 and 16, it says, through 16, it says, "Certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, they took upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus." We're just going to take his name and start calling his name over evil spirits, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus who Paul preaches." And there were 7 sons, 1 Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. They lost in a very embarrassing fashion. Listen, Jesus was in submission, and he was known. Paul was in submission, he was known. 7 sons were not in submission. It was a job. This was a job to them. And they treated the name of the Lord like it was a hammer that they pick up out of the toolbox and use it and then put it back. And that spirit said, "I know Paul and I know Jesus, but I don't know you." Listen, every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is Lord is a fact. I've said that already. But everyone is not under submission to him. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "In the 70, Jesus sent 70 men out to preach and do work miracles. The 70 came back with joy, and they said, 'Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name.' And he said unto them, 'I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.'" So while they were submitted, they went to do what he told them to do. They preached, they healed, and even the spirits were subject unto them through his name. But he said, that's not really anything to just throw a party about. Rather rejoice because your names are written. Submission to him equals salvation. being in submission to Him. He said, your names are written in that book of life, and you can stand with me tonight. And that's what the church has the authority to do. In the telling of the Great Commission at the end of the book of Mark, it says, Jesus said unto them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Go preach, go do it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. These are the signs that will follow them that believe, that those that are in submission to God. That's the keys to revival. That's the keys to the kingdom. That's being in submission to Him, His word, His ways, His arrangement, His order. I want to be in submission to God. You know, when you read the story of Samson, he was so mighty. Did a lot of great things. And when the enemy would come in to try and bind him, he would break those bonds, break those ropes, you know, that kept getting loose. He was killing 1,000 people with the jawbone, taking up whole gates and setting them up on the mountain, just doing whatever he wanted to do, tearing lions in half. But as soon as he got out of submission, he could no longer break the bands. The scary part was is that he didn't even know that God had left him, that God wasn't with him like that anymore, that that power wasn't there. You mean God didn't love him? No, God still loved him. He was a judge of Israel. God had ordained him to be a Nazarite from the womb. But when he got out of, when he let them shave off, he finally told, hey, this is what'll get it. And they shaved the locks of his hair off, his strength left. And he jumped, he said, I'll shake myself as before and I'll go out. No, you won't, because you got out of submission. You stopped being in submission to God, and you told all that was in your heart to somebody else, and you lost. So I don't want to be in submission to anything else. Who he yielded to was that's whose servant he became. He yielded and became their servant. They laughed at him, but when he got back in submission with God, right at the end, he was standing between the two pillars of that temple. All the enemy was on the roof, and they were around, and they were laughing at him. He said, God, remember me one more time. God, just remember me again. Because, you know, when you read about the Nazarite, if they mess up, and they have to go shave their head and then start over. The scripture clearly lets us know that the hair of his head began to grow again. So he was back. He was in a bad place, but he was back in submission, and God remembered him, and it said he killed more of the enemy, his death, than he did all that other time. He had power again when he got back under submission. So I want to be in submission. There's power through submission. There is power to live right, walk right, do right. There is power to live the life you want to live. There is power to be who you want to be. But it's got to be according to God's word and God's ways. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.